From the LifeWord Studios, this is Life Perspectives with Michael Goring.
Joining me today, my very special guest, a popular women's Bible teacher, author, and director of Women's Ministry for LifeWay Resources, Andrea Lennon. Andrea, thanks for being on the program.
Absolutely, Michael. So excited to join you and to just have this time to have a good conversation.
Well, and I've been looking forward to this. You know, we were talking just a few moments ago. We were at the same church. My wife and I and your husband, Jay, and you were at the same church for a few years and same Sunday school class. And so we go way back, but it's great to connect with you here and to discuss some important topics.
Absolutely. I actually remember, I was trying to think my first memory with you and your family, I think, and it's shocking, it's around food. We all went to church together and then we went out to eat afterwards. And I knew immediately we were going to be those lifelong friends. Like we would just pick right up and be able to have that connection. So great to see you again and to have this chance to talk.
Well, so Andrea, for those who may be unfamiliar with you or new to who you are, tell us about yourself and the path that God used to bring you to a place where you are now one of the leading women's Bible study teachers in the country.
I appreciate that. It has been a wonderful path. I will say that, and all glory to God. Can we just start by saying all glory to God that He is faithful. He is with us. He goes before us. And so just a little bit about my story. I was born and raised here in Arkansas. So for those of you who are listening or watching who have Arkansas ties, I live in Conway, Arkansas. My husband and I have lived here for almost 29 years. This is home for us. I was called to ministry like three times before I finally surrendered. So it's one of those kind of stories when I was, 16 years old, just since the Lord placing a desire on my heart, a call on my heart to teach women the word. But I grew up with dyslexia, so I wasn't quite sure if I could do that or not. So I ran from that calling. Then at 18, a more specific call where the Lord was just calling towards vocational ministry, but I didn't know what that would look like for me as a female. And also just really wanting to live for the American dream, kind of chart my own way. And so that led to 7 years of that desert wandering experience where by God's grace, I realized that, you know, the American dream would never fulfill my heart and it would never satisfy my life. And so God in his goodness and grace called for a third time. And this call led to seminary. And so I went to Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary where I received a Master of Arts in Christian Education, stepped out, finished that degree, and then started working in the local church, which I have such a heart for the local church. So thankful that we get to enjoy community, biblical community together, that we get to be on mission together. I am a huge advocate for involvement in your local church and using your gifts there for the betterment of the body and for kingdom advancement. And so just started working in the local church, always knowing that God had prepared me and called me to teach women. So as I stepped out of local church leadership, I started a ministry called True Vine Ministry at the time, started traveling around the state of Arkansas, teaching the word to women. My tagline was know the truth, live the truth, share the truth. So knowing the truth and living it and sharing it in the way that we live and the way that we act and the way we respond, such a passion that we get to live that full, free, abundant life. And so then about 10 years into that, I started working at the Arkansas Baptist State Convention where I had the privilege to serve as the women's ministry leader there, women's specialist there. So coming alongside women's ministry leaders and churches and pastors and equipping them with tools and resources to be able to know what women's ministry is and how it functions in the local church, and did that along with my speaking and teaching ministry for another 10 years. So that was 20 total years. And towards the end of that, LifeWay Christian Resources reached out and said, hey, are you open to a conversation? And I'm so thankful that that's how it happened. It was a conversation that would just led to the next step of obedience, the next step of faith. And after a very long process, I had the privilege to step into the role of Women's Ministry Director at LifeWay Christian Resources, where I have the opportunity to give vision to what we do for women and then also teach the word and, you know, podcasting and those kinds of things. So it's been a journey. Michael, you know, it's always a journey, but it's been a blessing.
So knowing you like I do, you have been someone who not only since God's call responded to God's call, but you have taken it very seriously in respect to, as you said, getting that master's degree from Southwestern Seminary. You wanted to make sure that everything that you did was grounded in the Word, that it was something that would edify the believers. And you've been doing this now how many years?
Oh, over 20, 25 years or so now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So from your perspective, Andrea, what are some of the biggest challenges that you see churches facing right now in America?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think one challenge that we face is the challenge that results from just having access to so many things. Mm-hmm. You know, the complacency that comes from having 10 Bibles in our house and multiple streams of media where we can listen to a sermon or listen to a podcast or, you know, download an audio book, which are all wonderful, wonderful things. But I do sense that over time that has created a sense of complacency and a lack of urgency for the gospel. And it also, I think, makes us turn inward towards ourselves oftentimes to what do I see? What do I want? What do I need? Instead of having that outward focus of, yes, we want to hear that sermon. We want to listen to that book. We want to listen to that podcast. But ultimately, because of the gospel, because of the good news of Jesus Christ, going forward and making disciples. And so I think that that's a challenge that we have to look at and think, how are we, one, being equipped personally, and two, moving with the heartbeat of God to share the good news?
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is intentional discipleship and biblical literacy are two important things. You know, we do have at our fingertips access to just about every kind of preacher or teacher, and it's discerning what is biblical truth and what is, you know, heresy, for lack of a better word. How do we combat that?
Well, I think I love, and this is so simple, but it's so true. Whenever you want to be able to identify a counterfeit, you get to know the real thing really, yeah, really well, right? And yeah, so this is where it comes to that personal commitment, that personal call, that personal discipleship, to know the Lord, to know His Word, to be involved with His people. I think accountability is a big part of that. You mentioned the word discipleship and biblical literacy, which are two very important things that we're seeing, I think, begin to take shape and to, yeah, take root within the church, which I praise God for. Yeah. And so those are processes, and they are also commitments that move beyond our feelings, that move beyond when it works for us, we're going to do it, to a place of resolve. And yeah, so I think that that is so important. So the personal aspect of it, of that personal relationship with God, that we get to boldly approach the throne of grace, that we get to cast our cares upon Him, that we receive comfort and all of those beautiful things that are in a part of that abiding relationship, but also fueled with that commitment, that desire, that resolve. And for me, it's so much a process. Like, I know what I need to do in the week to foster a meaningful relationship with Jesus so that I can live out of the overflow, that I can serve out of the overflow. So I think it's both sides of the coin.
Yeah. Well, because for so long, as you've mentioned, for so long, the average American Christian has known just enough about the Bible to be dangerous, you know? And so it is that having that deep abiding resolve, as you said, to carve out that time that we're going to say, this is time that we're going to guard, that we're going to protect, to be committed to the Word and to the study of the Word, and to I think church engagement is another important thing that from a pastoral standpoint, you know, seeing church members that are here 1 week and then they're gone for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, and then they come back again and they're there for maybe 2 weeks. So I don't know, from your standpoint, from your perspective, have you seen a trend? Has LifeWay seen a trend where we're seeing that kind of curve back to where there is a recommitment to faithful church attendance, faithful church engagement. Because there's a difference, I think, between church attendance and church engagement, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's a tricky question because we do see some stats that are indicating that young men are coming back to the church, you know, and we praise God for that. Yeah. But we also see a stat that indicates that young women are struggling. And so that is that disconnect that we're leaning into. Like, why are young women checking out? Why are they wondering if this is a safe place? You know, and so we're really trying to have some conversations around that. And, you know, even in your show notes, Michael, I can link an article that addresses that, you know, some Great. Of the, that trend, as well as some things that local churches can do to really create a warm and welcoming environment. But at the end of the day, I mean, it all comes back to relationship with God, relationship with one another. And I would say, I think in my, you know, ministry history, one of the biggest struggles for women has been really letting that mask down and to say, I want you to see me. I want you to know me in the midst of this moment, or I'm going to be vulnerable enough to go first so that the next person will feel that same level of freedom to also, you know, just be real about our struggles, be real about where we are, be real about the challenges. And so here's what I think is so exciting, and I'll bring it back to the question. When we can create that kind of safe church culture where we can be real with one another towards, and I say this all the time, towards sanctification, not just to air the details just for the sake of airing the details, but for the purpose and the process of sanctification, there's something about that freedom, you know, that is so contagious, you know, to be known and to be seen and to be loved by God, to be accepted by his people, to be walking walking in holiness and walking towards Christ-likeness together. I'm just so excited about that potential. So we have to realize there's work to be done in that in that regard.
You know, you were talking about just a second ago about how, you know, we need ladies that are paving the way for other ladies to feel like they have a safe space to express themselves. You know, you early on, you know, you've been doing this for 25 years. There weren't a lot of itinerant women Bible teachers 25 years ago. And so you really have helped lead the way for that, which brings me to this next question. How can churches better equip and affirm women to use their gifts for the glory of God within the biblical boundaries?
Yeah, great question. Love that question. You know, and I want to just give a nod to the fact that 25 years ago, I didn't have the option to pick up the phone and call somebody who was doing the same thing as me.
Right.
You know, even 20 years ago, 15 years ago. But today, by the grace of God, I think it's different. I do think progress has been made. And we go to the local church, we look to the local church and we say, okay, how can we do this well? How can we do this within the biblical framework, within, you know, our guiding, you know, beliefs, so to speak, but also in a way where women know there is a place for them, there is opportunity for them. And I think it starts with the leadership, with the pastor saying, guess what? There's a place for you here.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna bring you in to this conversation. I'm gonna bring you into this opportunity. I'm going to make sure that we're thinking strategically about women serving in ministry and in ways that are meaningful. And that's a word that I use a lot in this conversation. It really does need to be meaningful opportunities to serve, not just add-on opportunities.
Sure.
And meaningful means different things for different people, and it's connected to your gifting and to your calling. And so for that pastor who is listening to this podcast, I would say within, you know, your doctrinal guidelines and your belief systems, for sure, what does it look like to give women an opportunity to sit at the table, to use their gifts, to be a part, and this is something that's so important to me, to be a part of the solution, right? We have this wonderful message of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we want to take this message and his life-changing word to people. So how can we do that together? And I say all the time to women's ministry leaders, to pastors, great things happen when we talk. Great things happen when we communicate, when we sit down together and we realize we're all here for the same reason. We're all on the same team. How can we co-labor in together in a way that brings glory to God and furthers His kingdom?
Now I'm not a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. LifeWord is not a Southern Baptist entity. We're part of the Baptist Missionary Association of America. But as a kind of an outside viewer watching the Southern Baptist Convention, is it dialogue? Is it helpful dialogue that we're seeing within the convention with the role of women?
Yeah, I think there's always helpful dialogue when you get the right people in the right spaces and have the right conversations. Right. So those are kind of my thoughts around that. Are there dialogues that happen outside of that in other spaces? Probably so. But I really like to focus on how do we get the right people in the right room and ask the right questions. And I think in those moments, the conversation moves forward. And yeah. So those are the things that just by the grace of God, I'm able to be a part of.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I thank the Lord that you are someone who's in the room and that you're advocating, because I do think that women's ministry and women using their giftedness within the context of the local church is such a vital part in kingdom building. Right.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
Andrea, we live in a time of cultural tension about truth, about authority, about morality. How should Christians remain faithful without becoming combative or on the other spectrum of that, fearful?
Yeah, that's so good. So good. We're constantly navigating that question, aren't we?
Yeah.
And, you know, I just, this is the ultimate Sunday school answer, but it saves us every single time. I love to go to the life of Jesus and watch how he did it.
Yeah.
He was present with people. He saw them. He loved them. He ministered to them. And he was truthful. Right? He was, yeah. It was always that beautiful, you know, love and truth and grace and mercy and all of it together. And so I can, you know, think of times whenever I've maybe been in a situation where I wondered if the truth would feel like a sting, you know, instead of like the freedom. Right. And so I'll just remember framing that up as I love you too much not to share the truth with you. I just love you too much. And I care for you too much. And I want, you know, God's best for you in the midst of this situation too much to not engage in this conversation in a real way. And Michael, what I can tell you is that approach has always at least left the door open for another conversation. And so I think that we just have to, it's a heart check for us a lot of times. Anytime, and this is, I'll speak out of experience for me, anytime I'm trying to prove myself right or something else right, to the point that I'm no longer really concerned about the other person and their story and their feelings and their perspective on the situation, that is a red flag for me. To pull back and to just ask the Lord to search my heart in the midst of that moment. So I think it's the motive that we bring to the table. I think it's the love that we bring to the table. And then ultimately, what is the win? The win is eternity, right?
Yeah.
The win is spiritual fruit. The win is freedom in Christ. And so, you know, those are kind of the checks and balances that I use personally to make sure that I can engage in this conversation in a way that is redemptive and helpful and hopeful, as well as truthful.
Yeah. I mean, you're describing there, I think 1 Peter 3:15, right? We're giving an answer for the hope that we have, and we're doing it with gentleness and with respect, right?
Yep.
The gospel wins every time.
Amen. Amen.
So, Andrea, what excites you most about the future of the church?
Oh, you know, how God is on the move. I just, you know, and I think we pull back and we look at the global church and we realize that God has always been a way maker. He has always been providing, you know, in supernatural ways, whether that's with just his presence or his power, or his provision, the very fact that we get to live to him, with him, for him, and through him, to know him and make him known. That is so exciting to me. I was on a podcast not too long ago and was asked this question, and I just had this moment where I realized, you know what, the church is still here. The church is, yeah, is thriving, right? And we may see pockets of complacency or struggle or questions or doubts, but let's all be certain of the fact that God is on the move and that we get to be a part of his story. And that is so exciting.
Well, and I think it takes the pressure off a little bit to know that Jesus said that he was going to build the church, right?
That's right.
And so he's taking responsibility for advancing that. Now he allows us to be a part of it in you know, taking the gospel to the nations. And so that is exciting. Where can folks learn more about your ministry, support your ministry?
I appreciate that opportunity. Well, I'll tell you where I'm most active right now is at lifeway.com/women. And so there are blog posts there. I'm going to be a part of a release of a Bible study called Friends and Sisters that's coming out in June. I am the co-host of the Marked podcast, which drops every week. We do 3 seasons throughout the year. Great candid conversations for women who love the Lord, who love his word. And so those are the primary ways. You can also visit my website, AndreaLennonMinistry.org. I have several books that are available there, old podcasts that are available there, and of course, social media. I'm on Instagram, Facebook. Those are the primary platforms where you can find me. But I would love to connect. And if I can ever be a help to a pastor or to a women's ministry leader or to a woman just maybe longing to know Jesus more, I want you to know I'm here and I'd love for you to reach out to me.
And your book on Ruth, your Bible study on Ruth is really a tremendous resource. I know that our ladies have gone through that in years past, And so I highly recommend those of you that are watching to check out Andrea's ministry. My thanks to Andrea Lennon. And to learn more about her, visit AndreaLennonMinistry.org. I'm Michael Goring. Until next time, thanks for watching.